All right. We'll say let's begin. Okay. Where am I sitting? I'll sit next to you. I always sit next to you. All right. So we'll say we left off Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Troknin, Petur Min Achala. Troknin are potter from Chala. Okay, so the Gemara says, my Troknin. So what is Troknin? Amar Abaye Kuva De'ara. So Abaye says, Kuva De'ara, look at Rashi. Kuva De'ara, Osa Mokum Chalo Bekira, Venosin Beso Chomayim Vekamach Kimosha Osin Be'ofas. So what they used to do was, they would go ahead and they would bore out a hole in the bottom of the oven, in the bottom of the Kira. They would pour batter into that, and they would allow the batter to remain, to get heated up in there, until ultimately the batter itself turns into a loaf. So that's Troknin. So the Gemara says, so this actually, interestingly enough, this actually turned into a loaf after enough time. You left it in there, it was a more of a liquidy batter, but you left it in there, and over time it turned into an actual loaf. So, the bottom of the oven. They bore out a hole in the bottom of the oven. So Rabbi Yochanan, Troknin p'tur min hachalo. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Troknin is p'tur from chalo, which would seem to indicate that it's not bread. So the Gemara says, my Troknin, Rabbi Kovadara. Varma Abaye, Trisa p'tur min hachalo. Abaye says, similarly, Trisa is p'tur from chalo. My Trisa, what is Trisa? Ika da amri gvil merosach. The Ika da Amri Nama Dihindoka. So some say it's Gevil Murasach. So Rashi says, Nostin Kemachu Mayim Bekli, Uboch Shin Bekap, Vishovkin Alakira Kishihine Sekes. So what happens? So we go ahead and we take flour and water in a kli. You pour it in, right? You pour it in ala kira kishine sekes. This sounds more like what you're doing is you're taking the batter and you're pouring the batter onto like a griddle. You're pouring it onto a hot surface. So the difference is trisa really seems like more like a, like almost like a pancake type of like a sufgania type of concoction. It doesn't really form into a loaf of bread. And therefore, aloha lamaisa, the Gemara says that it's potter from chalo. Vikadamri, others say namba dihindika, Indian bread. So Rashi points out over the Indian bread was, they would go ahead and put dough on a spit, roast it on a, or bake it on an open fire, and they would smear the outside, constantly smear the outside with egg. Either way, the common denominator among all of these things is that even though ingredient-wise, they look like bread, because the bottom line, because the end product does not have what the Gemara called this morning, Turisa dinamo, doesn't have the appearance of bread, therefore it's not halachically considered to be bread. So the Gemara goes on. Others say that what is Turisa? Turisa is bread that was made for Kusach. So Rabbi Yochanan, there was a very popular dip called Kusach in the times of the Gemara. I think you can only purchase it today at specialty stores. Right, so Kusach was made out of sour milk, curdled milk, with bread. There are different ingredients. Some called for moldy bread, some called for regular bread. So, but it was that was kusach. So some say that this trisa was bread that was specifically made for kusach. All right, bros. The truth is, the bottom common denominator among all of these things are end product doesn't look like bread, and therefore aloha lemaisa it's not reckoned as bread. So the Gemara says v'hotanyo chayiv bechala. But we learned elsewhere that these types of breads are in fact chayiv in chalo. So the Gemara says, no. Hasam kediktani taimer Rabbi Yehuda Omer maaseh mochichin aleha. So Yehuda says something very interesting, which is the following, which is that its actions maaseh mochichin aleha. David, you have a seat.
Yeah.
So ma'asem ochichen aleha, that ultimately its actions prove its point. What does that mean? Or I should say, what you do with the bread ultimately determines the identity. So the Gemara says, top of Lamed Ches, asu'a ke'ovin, chayovin kilimudin peturin. So we'll say, when you were making bread for these various items, right, as an ingredient in these various items, so there were two ways you could have made the bread. You could have made the bread thick, i.e. like a loaf, or you could have made the bread kilimudin, literally means kinesarim, like a board, almost more wafer-like. So we'll say if you were making it thick, like a loaf, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, that shows that it's bread. And therefore, even if it's mixed into something else, it still retains its bread identity, assuming that you could still discern that it's bread, like we learned in this morning's daf. Mashenkin, if you just make it in straight sheets, so we'll say, just so you should know, halacha lemaisa, where does this come up today?
Pizza.
Oh, bagel chips. Bagel chips. So there's a big, big, raging machlokis. Mamish, the universe is in turmoil, right? What do you do with bagel chips? So what does it come down to? What it comes down to is, and Rabbi Rachmiel could give us a whole shir on this, right? But what, right? Yes, you can, I'm telling you, you can. Right? So what it all comes down to is what? Is where do the bagel chips come from? This is not like an esoteric question of where do bagel chips come from. This is. There are two ways you can make bagel chips. Actually, I saw this, Mamish, in my brief stint in Kashrus. One of the companies I had was a bread company called Pechter's in New Jersey. So it's interesting. They made bagel chips in two different ways. One way is you take old bagels and you slice it up into chips. What bracha do you make on that? Hamotzi, because clearly, based on this morning's stuff, also it still it looks like bread. I mean, it has a bread appearance even afterwards. Other way they make it, which I think is the more conventional way now, is they just slice dough. They just slice dough, and they call it a bagel chip. I don't want to burst anyone's bubble, but it was really never a bagel. By the way, there's no tooth fairy either. And it was never really a bagel, but they call it a bagel chip. So that's exactly what this Gemara is talking about. So the bracha will depend on where it came from. If it came from a bagel, so a bagel is a bagel is a bagel, the chip is hamotzi also, but if it came from just a flat piece of dough, which is pretty much what it comes down to today, then it's a mezonos. Amalei Abayi L'Rav, Amalei Abayi L'Rav Yosef, Hai Kuva Da'ara, Mai Mevarchin Iluya. So Abayi said to Rav Yosef, this kuba da'ara, so remember the kuba da'ara was the first case over here, that's where you take the batter, you pour it into this hole that's bored out in the bottom of the stove. What bracha do you make on it? Amalei, misavris anamahu. So he said to him, well, do you really think it's bread? Guvla ba'almahu. It's guvla ba'alma. So guvla ba'alma means it's just simply a mixture. Umivarchinan iluya boremi ne'mezonos. It's not bread. What is it? A flour-water mixture. And flour-water mixture gets a mezonos. Marzutra kava su'uda se'iluya. Marzutra went ahead and was koveya su'uda on this kuva da'ara. Ubarich iluya hamotzi lecha mina aretz v'shalosh brachos. And therefore, as a result, he made hamotzi and he benched afterwards. Now, Rabosai, that's not such a chiddush, and that's not really a good raya for us, because remember, if you are koveya su'uda, right? So, if let's say there's a new, there's a new fad diet called the Dunkin' Donuts diet. Mamish South Beach, if South Beach didn't work for you or whatever else, Mamish donuts. Donuts in the morning, donuts in the evening, in the afternoon and the evening, a lot of donuts. So, Mamish, if you're koveya su'uda, sounds good, boys, right? Dunkin' Donuts diet? What do you think? So if you're koveya su'uda on donuts, then halacha l'maisa, you wash, you make hamotzi, and you bench afterwards. So the fact that Marzutra went ahead and was koveya su'uda on kuva da'ara, kuva da'ara, the fact that he made hamotzi and then benched afterwards, that's not a raya that you would necessarily make a hamotzi on it regularly. Just he was koveya su'uda, so he gets a hamotzi. So Ma'abar Avashi goes so far to say that a person could even go ahead and be yotze with this for matzah. Meaning, so assuming you did not let the concoction become chametz, you could actually use it for matzah, which of course is an explicit raya that what? That in fact it's bread, that it's lechem. So my time up, but listen to this, interesting of why is that so? Lechem oni karinan bay. Because ultimately this kuva da'ara apparently would satisfy the criteria of being lechem oni. Va'amar ma'abar avashi, hai dufsha de tamri. So what's another Gemara switching gears? Dufsha de tamri. So what's dufsha de tamri? Date honey. Date honey, remember, when we extol Eretz Yisrael as being a land of dvash, we're of course not referring to bee honey, we're referring to date honey. So what is the status of date honey? Duvsha de tamri. So mavarchinon aleh shakol nieh bidvaro. Rav Ashi says, it gets a shahakol. Why? My taima, zeya ba'almahu. right? Because you know what the honey is? The truth is, the honey is not a real part of the pre. What is it? Ze'ev Ava literally means it's the sweat. It's the moisture of the pre. But it's not significant on its own, and therefore Aloch HaLamaisa only gets a shahakol. So the Gemara says, Kiman. So whose opinion does this reflect? Ki aitano disnan divash tumarim v'yein tapuchim v'chomitz sifonios. So the Brice, the Mishnah says, if you have date honey, yayin tapuchim means apple cider. Right? Apple cider, juice that comes out from the apples. Chomet sifonios means, this is actually interesting because I learned something new today. See, normally when you buy something, when you buy a wine that's late harvest, so usually late harvest wine tastes what? Is usually what? Is usually sweeter. Right? Is usually late harvest wine is usually Moshe Ben Sion. Am I right on this? Right? Usually sweeter because the grapes have more time to mature, more sugar. See, interestingly enough, apparently, and maybe this has to do with regions, but here the Gemara understands that actually late harvest grapes were more sour. So if you left grapes in the field too long, you would not be able to use it for wine. So what did you use it for? You used it for vinegar. So chomet sifonios ushar me peros. Shol truma, or for that matter, any other fruit of the juice of fruits of pruma of truma. Rabbi Eliezer mechayiv keren v'chomesh. For Rabbi Yeshua pot poter. Rabbi Yeshua says you're chayiv. So let's say, if you were to go ahead and eat, let's say drink the apple cider of apples of truma, or you were to eat the honey of truma dates, or you were to go ahead and drink the juice of any truma fruit. So the shaila now, let's say, assuming I'm not a kohen, I'm a zar, I'm not a kohen. So what's the halacha? So Rabbi Eliezer says, well, you chayiv like any other time you benefit from truma. What's the penalty for benefiting from truma? Yeah, boys, listen to this. As kohanim, you have to know this. So, right, if a non-kohen eats your truma, the non-kohen has to pay back principal plus a penalty fifth. So Rabbi Eliezer says, okay, pay back your principal penalty fifth. So, however, Rabbi Yeshua poter. Rabbi Yeshua says you're poter. Why does Rabbi Yeshua say you're poter? Because you haven't benefited from truma. What have you benefited from? The sweat of the pre. But you have not benefited from real truma to the point that he said. So you want to say, what's interesting about this is we saw earlier that if you get some kind of, you know, non-normal benefit, you still have to pay the principal, but you won't have to pay the fifth. But interestingly enough, now Rabbi Eliezer is saying, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, you literally don't have to pay anything because it's as if you did not benefit from the pre. Amar li ahumir Rabbanan l'Rava. So a certain one of the Rabbanan said to Rava, trima mahu. What is the status of trima? So now look at Rashi for just a moment. Trima mahu. So what is trima? So what he was asking is, what bracha do you make on trima? So before we get to what bracha you make on trima, first question is, what's trima? So Rashi points out something very interesting. V'shem trima called davar hakotush ktsas ve'ino merusok. Trima, interestingly enough, is not a type of food, but rather trima refers to a state of food. Trima is any food that is crushed, but not merusok. Not merusok means chopped up into fine pieces. So what does that mean? So trima means that it's in a state of where it's crushed, but what? It's still recognizable. It's still recognizable. So it's mashed. It's mashed, but it's not chopped up into finely chopped pieces where you wouldn't be able to recognize it. So what is the bracha over trima? So the Gemara says, lo hava adayte. So what happened? So Rava didn't know. So interestingly enough, so Rava had the same problem we had, which was Rava didn't know what the guy was talking about. The guy's asking him about trima, and Rava's saying to himself, Rava doesn't have any idea what trima is. So listen to this. So the Gemara says, so lo hava adaiti d'Rava, my kamerlei. Yosef Ravina kamei d'Rava. So Ravina was sitting before Rava. Amerlei, d'shumshimi ka'amrit, o d'kurtimi ka'amrit, o d'purtsani ka'amrit. What kind of trima? So now Ravina's sitting there. Ravina chimes in and he says, by the way, what kind of trima are you talking about? Are you talking about sesame trima, that shumshimi? Are you talking about kurtami? Look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi's kurtami. Karkum, saffron. Saffron, right? Are you talking about saffron trima? Or are you talking about the purtsani? Rashi says grape trima. Now the point over here is, adahachi vahachi aski Rava ledaite. So Rava realized by the fact that Ravina was asking, are you talking about sesame trima? Are you talking about saffron trima or grape trima? That's what? That trima wasn't the food, but rather trima was a state. This must be a Gilgul. Right, that trima was a state. So what happened? So the Gemara says, Amar le chashilta vaday ka'amrit. Chashilta Vadei Kamrit. Take a look at Rashi. Chashilta Vadei Kamrit. Mitoch Divrei Ravina Haven Rava Es Hasheila Amar Le Davar Mo'och Shaltani. So he said, oh, I know what you mean by Chima. You're talking about Chashilta. Of course, it doesn't help us very much. But for Rava, apparently, chashilta was the more common vernacular than the word trima to describe something that was crushed. So the Gemara says, Va'ad karton milsa hada am Ravasi. And Rava was reminded of the statement of Ravasi. What did Ravasi say? Hai tamri shel truma mutar la'asos mehen trima va'asar la'asos mehen shechar. So Ravasi said that if you have dates of truma, you are permitted to make trima out of them, but you can't make beer out of them. So we'll say, what's the pshat? There's an interesting halacha by truma that you're not allowed to destroy them. You're not allowed to destroy truma. Meaning, even a kohen who gets truma, a kohen is permitted to eat truma, but he's not permitted to destroy it. Meaning, not destroy it in terms of waste it, but let's say, for example, if a kohen gets dates as truma, he can't make what do you call date beer? Is that mead?
Yeah, med.
Med. Yeah. Okay, so he can't make... You knew that too quickly, Dr. Bambai. I see you can't. Right, next week you bring the med. I see you can't make. Right, you can't make med out of it because that totally destroys the pre. But what can you do? You can make trima out of it. So we'll say, what does that tell us? What does that tell us? That when you trimasize something, right, which means when you crush it, the item still what? Retains its original identity. And therefore, for bracha purposes, trima would have the same bracha as the original item. So the Gemara says, however, v'hilchasa tamri va'avdinu trima mevarchinan iluya borei priya eitz. So therefore, halach l'maisa bosa, and this is indeed codified in the Shulchan Aruch, that if you took dates, or for that matter, any other food, and you trimasized it, right? You crushed it, but again, crushed it in a way that it's still recognizable for what it is, then halach l'maisa retains its original bracha. My taima, what's the reason? B'milsaihu kaimi kidmedi kara. Because at the end of the day, it's still the same item it was before. Granted, it may have changed physical form a little bit, but the same item is still sitting there right in front of you. Shesisa. Now we come to another food. Shesisa. What's shesisa? Rashi says, shesisa. Ma'achala osu mikemach kloyos, shenesyav shu batanar ba'od hashashi balim lachim. So shesisa is some type of dish that was made, Rashi says, from essentially roasted or parched grain. Roasted or parched grain. So what happens? So what's the status of shesisa? Rav amar shakol nevidvaro. Rav says it's shakol. Ushmuel amar borei mi nemezonos. Shmuel says it's mezonos. Amar Rav Chista v'lo pligi. They're not arguing. Haba'ava habiraka. Everything depends on how you're making your shesisa. If you're making it right, so the Gemara, haba'ava habiraka. Ava la'achila avdila. So when people made a thick shesisa, and there must have been something else mixed into it as well in order to create this thickness. So whether it was oil or whether it was honey, so if it's right, or sugar, something else to give it a little bit of body. See, so if you made it thick, then aloch l'maisi, it was clear you were making it for consumption purposes. That's a mezonos. Raka l'refua ka'avdila. So apparently, interestingly enough, people also use shesisa for medicinal purposes. So, but shesisa that was made for medicinal purposes was made raka. Raka literally means soft. It probably means liquidy. Liquidy. As opposed to shesisa for food purposes, which was made in a thick mixture. Shrefua shesisa, right? Called over-the-counter shesisa, was made as a Moshe Ben Sion. You'll hook us up for some shesisa.
Power bars,
right? Right, baby, I can help you with power bar. So liquid shesisa, which was done for refua, gets a shahakal. Gets a shahakal. Now, what's the point of it? Now, I will say, this goes back to our previous sugya. Right, so meaning it was eaten, but because it was eaten in a non-normative fashion, so you still got, it still probably tasted like a food. It was so, okay, so the Gemara goes on and says the following. Massive Rav Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef says, "V'shavin, everybody agrees, shebochashin es hashosus b'shabbes, v'shosin zesum ha-mitzri." So Rabbi Yosef, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Shebochashin, Rashi says, "Magisin bekaf la'arvo yofa b'meimav." Everyone agrees that you could mix yourself some shesisa on Shabbos, and you could go ahead and drink this Egyptian beer. this Egyptian beer. The Rav Osai, now watch this, says the Gemara, now you could do this on Shabbos. Now if you think, now if you have a Havmina, that's why you're doing this, for Refuah, for medicinal purposes. Refuah b'Shabbos mishari. Are you permitted to engage in Refuah on Shabbos? Rav Osai, we saw this a couple of days ago, that you know that Chazal prohibited engaging in any kind of Refuah out of the Gzeir of Shchika Samimonim. That one may come to grind up herbs. That's how they made their medicines. And even if, for argument's sake, you were not grinding up herbs, nevertheless, Chazal made a blanket gzeira upon all types of medicine. So the Gemara says, one second, you're just telling me now that liquid shesisa is for refuah. If it's for refuah, you should not be able to do it on Shabbos. And yet, what does the Braisa say? That you can do it for Shabbos. What's the pshat? Amar le Abaye, va'at lo tizbra, do you not hold of this? But hatnan, we learned, kala ochlin ochel adam le refuah b'Shabbos, v'chala mashkin shosa. So Abaye says, I don't understand what your problem is. We've learned this explicitly. Halacha lemaisa, you are allowed to eat medicinal foods and drink medicinal drinks on Shabbos. Even if your kavanah is for refuah, as long as the food item itself is what we'll call later on a meichel briyim, it's something that healthy people eat as well, then halacha lemaisa, you're permitted to go ahead and even on Shabbos. So what's your problem? It's not a contradiction. So I could tell you that liquid shesisa is for refuah, but you know what? People sometimes also grab a liquid shesisa when they're on the go, right? You know, it's a 7-Eleven, has it right out, the next to the Slurpees, right? You say you could go, so because it's a meichel briyim, so then halacha lemaisa, you could eat it also on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, elamayis techol ameimar. So what can you say? Gavra.
Why can't you mix your medicine in some kind of beverage?
So again, because you're still mixing in medicine. You're adding in medicine there. This is food. This is food. So the Gemara says, Elamaz Cholimimar, Gavra la Achilu Kamachabin. So what do you have to say? The only reason why this works on Shabbos is because the person's kavana is to eat it. Hachanami Gavra la Achilu Kamachabin. So to over here, you'd have to say that even by the liquid shesisa, if the person has kavana to eat it, then halacha lemaisa. They should have to make the mezonos on it also. So the Gemara says, Lishnachrin, another approach. Elamaz Cholimimar, Gavra la Achilu Kamachabin. The roof refuah memela kahavia hachinami laachila kamechavein urefuah memela kahavia. So the Gemara says, you're right. You know why it works on Shabbos? It really only works on Shabbos if your real kavana is to eat the item for eating benefit, and the refuah is incidental, right? So I want to have a glass of tea, and it happens to be that my throat hurts. But at the end of the day, I'm eating. This is still an item that I would normally eat. You know, let's say someone who never drinks tea, to sit down and have a cup of tea on Shabbos when their throat's hurting, and they couldn't do. Why? Because that's clear that a person's doing that for refuah. Masha'ikin, if a person normally eats a particular food item, and so now I'm eating, it happens to me, I'm getting incidental refuah benefit, that's okay. So the Gemara says, utzricha. And you need both of these formulations. Why? Suppose let's take a quick look at Rashi. Rashi points out over here, utzricha. You see that utzricha deravu Shmuel? Rashi says, va'af agav desanya le'inyin Shabbos de'ochel hu, umotra le'ochlo b'Shabbos itztarech le'meimar de'ton bracha. So I will say, the truth is, it would appear that we really have two repetitive rulings. Because the truth is, if you tell me that you could drink this liquid shesis or eat this liquid shesis on Shabbos, what does that tell you? That it's an achila, that it's ochel, that it's food. If you tell me that it's ochel, then that should what? Then that should clarify the halacha legabe bracha as well. Legabe bracha as well. So the Gemara is saying that even though we made this statement by Shabbos, Rav and Shmuel still needed to clarify the statement by bracha as well for the following reason. Di'ime hai, hava amina la achila kamachabim, urafua memela kahavya. Aval hocha, So the Gemara says, I might have thought that if the Rav and Shmuel would have just said the halacha by bracha, but not by Shabbos, so the reason you get a bracha is because your kavanah is for achila. But in a case of, let's say Shabbos, well, let's say your kavanah was for refuah, or let's say not even Shabbos, where your kavanah was for refuah, maybe you shouldn't make a bracha. Kamashmolan kevan de isli hano amine by bruche. Kamashmolan, that since you get hano from it, you should make a bracha. So we'll say bottom line is that halacha lemaisa, what comes out is when it comes to shesisa, apparently you will go ahead and you'll make a mazonos on both forms of shesisa, since at the end of the day people go ahead and eat this. But you could also go ahead and use shesisa for refuah on Shabbos, because since it's called a machal briyim, since it's called a food that healthy people eat as well, it does not fall under the umbrella of refuah on Shabbos. Sha'ala pasu umr hamotzi. So just the Gemara says, the Mishnah said, and we'll say it's going to become very interesting halacha l'maisa now also, that you make a hamotzi on bread. So why? But the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Mahu Omer, what is the formulation of the bracha? So listen to this. So the Gemara says, first formulation is, Hamotzi lecha min haaretz. What do you say? Hamotzi lecha min haaretz. Now we'll say, remember, let's translate this phrase. Hamotzi lecha min haaretz means what? Who has brought bread out of the earth, which is past tense. Okay? Which makes sense, of course. Why? Because the bread is there already. Right? The bread is right there. So it makes sense to phrase the bracha in past tense. Rabbi Nechemiah Amar, Motzi Lechem Min Aretz. Rabbi Nechemiah says that what? You should say the bracha of Motzi Lechem Min Aretz. Right? Now here's what's interesting. So he leaves off the hay. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Bimotzi Kuli Ama Lo Pligi Da'apik Mashma. Right? So when it comes to Motzi, everyone agrees that what? Da'apik. Apik means what? Past tense. Everybody agrees that motzi is past tense, and that halacha lemaisa, that makes sense. Everyone agrees, because remember, we'll say again, like we just said before, we want the bracha to be phrased in past tense, because that's what makes the most sense for the bracha. So everyone agrees that motzi is past tense. Dichsiv, and he quotes a pasuk, kel motzi mi mitzrayim. Because the pasuk says, God who took us out of Egypt. So you see the shorash motzi there, right? Not the shorash, we see the root word motzi means past tense. Keep ligi. So what's the argument about? The hamotzi. Rabbanan savri hamotzi da apik mashma. So the Rabbanan hold that hamotzi is past tense. Dichsiv. Hamotzi lucha mai mitzurah chalamish. That God took water for us, or drew water. God drew out water from a rock for us. Now remember, when is Moshe Rabbeinu saying this? Already after the fact, right? After water has already been taken from the rock. So past tense. However, Rabbi Nechemiah Sover, Hamotzi Demapik Mashma. Rabbi Nechemiah says, no. Hamotzi means future tense. Why? Shene Emar, Hamotzi Eschem Mitachas Sivlot Mitzrayim. That God is the one who will take you out from underneath the burdens of Egypt. Right? When did Moshe say that to the Jewish people? When they were still enslaved. So clearly you see, Hamotzi means the God who will take you out. For Rabbanan, the Rabbanan is saying that's not true. Hachi ka'amar luhu kutshar b'ichu l'Yisrael. What was God saying to the Jewish people? Kad mafkino luhu avdino luhu milsa ki hechi di'aso da'anohu da'afkis yaschon mimitzrayim. So what God was saying to them was, God was giving them a message that what? That they will appreciate once they get out and reflect back on the circumstances. You will come to know me as what? As the God, Hamotzi, who took you out of Egypt. I'm giving you information now, but the information you're not going to appreciate until later on. But the Rabbanan say, no, but Hamotzi still means past tense. Rav Zvid. So the Gemara says the following. So now the Gemara pauses for Chazon. So we'll say, this is the Machlokes. Is it, now, here's what's interesting is, you know, it would seem to be clear that if everybody agrees on one Lashon, that's the Lashon you should use, right? So if everybody agrees that Motzi means past tense, just go with it. But okay, we have the Machlokes by a Motzi. So pause for just a moment, now we have a story. So Mishtavchen le-Rabbanan, le-Rabbi Zera, So the rabbis told Rabbi Zera that there was a great Talmud Chacham, that the son of Rav Zavid, he's not identified by name over here, but that the son of Rav Zavid was a great Talmud Chacham. And the rabbis were talking to Rabbi Zera about this young Talmud Chacham. Ubaki bebrachas. And he's an expert in brachas. Amar lahem, l'chishiyav aliyadchem, heviu aliyadi. So Rabbi Zera said, all right, let me check this guy out. The next time he comes around, you send him my way. All right. So the Gemara says, Zim nochade ikla legabe. So it happened one time that this Talmud Chochum, the son of Rav Zavid, showed up in town. And what happened? Igla legabe. So he went to go visit Rabbi Zera. What did Rabbi Zera say? Do? Afikule rifta. So listen to this, I was saying that you always got to be on guard. So everybody says, okay, this guy's such a big bucky in brachas, let's see what he's made of. So what does he do? He takes it, he says, come, let's have a suda together. So he gives him a loaf of bread. Let's see what he's going to do. So what happened? Pasach va'omer motzi. So what did the Talmid Chacham do? He said motzi. So Rabbi Zeir says, Omer, Zehu Sha'omim, I love the Adam Godelhu. This is what she got, right? This is the people, this is the man who people say is so great. Ubaki bebrachos, Bishlami Omer Hamotzi. Now, if he would have said Hamotzi, then what? Then Ashmo'in and Taimam, Ashmo'in and the Hilchos of Kirabanon. I would have learned two things. I would have learned a two-pronged lesson. Number one, what? Number one, first of all, he would have taught me Taichin the Pasuk. Right, because then I would have understood that when the pasuk says Hamotzi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim, that Hamotzi is what? That Hamotzi, in fact, is still past tense. That's number one. And number two, his behavior would have also shown me the halacha of Alzer Rabbanon, Ella de Amar Motzi. But you know, so what's so great? He said Motzi. So Shkayach, everybody agrees that Motzi is good. So the Gemara says, so Ella de Amar Motzi. So Shkoyach, he said Motzi. Everybody could say Motzi. What's the great Chiddush? So the Gemara says, so by the way, why did this young Talmid Chacham do Motzi and not Hamotzi? So this Talmid Chacham, interestingly enough, this Talmid Chacham wanted to remove himself from the Machlokas. He just wanted to sidestep it. Let's take the easy way out. So Rabbi Zeir, you see from this, my grandfather, Zichrono Livracha, told me in this Gemara that you see an incredible life you sowed. He said, some people like to remain parith. He said, life is not about remaining parith. You have to choose a team. You either milchiks or you fleshiks. If you're parith, it just shows you gotta develop yourself a little bit more to be able to take a stand. So you see that Rav Zeira wasn't happy with this Talmid Chacham. If you know your Torah, if you know your opinion, then make a decision. But don't take the easy way out. So the truth is, there's a simple answer to this, which is he made a decision. Right? His decision was to go with Motzi because everyone agrees to this lashon. Okay. So the Gemara says the Hilchos. So what is the bottom line? Halacha Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. So Rav Zeira Halacha Lemaisa We Paskin Hamotzi. Because we hold like the Rabbanon hold that Hamotzi is past tense also. But I will say, Halacha L'maaseh Mishnah Berurah Paskins, that if someone made a mistake and said, right, Baruch Atah Shalom Kinnom Halacha Olam, Motzi Lecha Min Ha'aretz, that what? You Yotze. You don't have to repeat the bracha. Because since that, and the novelty in that, of course, is under normal circumstances, if you deviate from the structure of brachos that Chazal created, normally that's not a good bracha. But this is one of those situations where, they're both right. And it's a machlokis in the Gemara. We paskin hamotzi, but if you made a mistake, you're still Yotze. So the Gemara says, Katani, excuse me, Vali Yirakos Omer. So if remember again, the Mishnah said that on vegetables, you go out and you say, Bari Pri Adam, okay, quickly. So the Gemara says, Katani Yirakos Dumi Depas. So we'll say, now this gets into a fascinating sugya. So the Gemara says, remember, the Mishnah quotes about vegetables right after bread. So the Gemara understands the juxtaposition between bread and vegetables is very important. Katani Yirakos Dumi Depas. Ma pas shenishtana al yedei ha'or, just like bread only becomes bread how? Through exposure to fire, through cooking, through baking. So Yirakos Nami shenishtanu al yedei ha'or. What kind of vegetables is the Mishnah talking about? Cooked vegetables. And the Mishnah is coming to teach you that even cooked vegetables get a borei pri hadama. Amar Rav Nai Mishmei Dabaye. Zolso Mer, Rav Nai said the name of Abaye. Zolso, this tells us, Shlokos Mevarchin Alein Borei Pri Adama. You know what this teaches us? That cooked vegetables get a Borei Pri Adama. Okay? Now I will say that's a Chiddush. Why? Because again, when you cook something, you obviously change at least the physical characteristics. Maybe not the appearance as much, but you certainly change the taste and the physical properties. But yet Rav said, you see from the juxtaposition between bread and vegetables, that even if you cook vegetables, you get a hadama. Let's see this. Darsh Rav Chisda Mishum Rabbeinu. Umanu Rav. So Rav Chisda Darsh Nehme Rabbi Yudan Asin. Who is that? His name of Rabbeinu. And who is Rabbeinu in this case? Rav. Shlokos. Shlokos means cooked vegetables. Nevarachin Alein Borei Pri Adama. Okay. For Rabbi Sina Hayardim Eretz Yisrael. Umanu Ula. And the rabbis who came from Eretz Yisrael. And who are they? Ula. Who is it? Ula. Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan. Omer. Shlokos Nevarachin Alein Shahakol Nyebidvaro. So listen to this. In Bavel they said cooked vegetables get Borei Pri Adama because a cooked vegetable is a vegetable. And in Eretz Yisrael they said no. You cook a vegetable, it's no longer a vegetable. It's just a food item. It's like meat, it's like fish, it's like anything else. And it gets a Shahakol. V'ani Omer. And I say, listen to this. Follow this formulation. kol shetchilas al brei pri adama, anything that originates a brei pri adama, shloko, if you cook it, shakol niyabidvaro. V'chol shetchilas al shakol niyabidvaro, and anything that's originally shakol, shloko, if you cook it, brei pri adama. We'll say, so what does that mean? What that means is, any vegetable that is not normally eaten raw, and therefore if you were to eat it, remember, let's say if you were to pluck a potato out of the ground and eat it, what bracha would you make on it? Shahakal. Why? Because that's non-normative consumption. And anytime you consume an item in a non-normative fashion, you get a shahakal. So any item over which in its raw state you would say a shahakal, in its cooked state you say a bari priyadama. Why? Because that shows that the normative way to eat that item is through cooking, and therefore it gets adama. But any item over which you would say in its raw state hadama, which means what? That's the normative form of consumption. If you were to cook it, which means now you're going to consume it in a non-normative fashion, then what? You would say brei pri adama, which of course the unstated case is what? Right? You say a shahakol. If you cook, you say a shahakol. The unstated case is if you have a particular item that's in both ways. Right? Okay, right? So interesting enough, this obviously changes with societal norms. But let's say for our purposes, carrot is a good example. Right? You eat it raw and you eat it cooked, you would get a hadoma in both states. So what's it? So the Gemara says, Bishlama, kol shetchilas o shakol niyabidvaro, shlako brei pri adama, mishkachas la bekarba v'silko ukra. So I understand the first case. I understand the situation of an item that in its raw state would get a shakal, and if you were to cook it would get a brei pri adama. That's karba. Karba's cabbage. Silka are beets. Kra, interesting, we mentioned this. Kra, often the translation is pumpkins. Gourds. Usually it's something in the gourd family. So gourd could be zucchini, it could be... I don't know exactly where pumpkin came from. It doesn't seem... Someone once told me that pumpkins weren't... Maybe it was Dr. Kramer, that pumpkins weren't even indigenous, let's say, in the Middle East. But all right. But the point is, these are examples of foods that are not eaten raw. So if you were to eat it raw, it gets a shahakal, but if you cook it, it gets adama. However, el kol shetchilas brei pri adama shlako ashakol eichim mishkachas la. What is the case of an item eaten raw? That if you eat it raw, it gets a brei pri adama, but if you cook it, it gets a shahakol. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak mishkachas lei bitumi v'karsi. You know where this comes up? This comes up with tumi is garlic. Karsi are leeks. So apparently garlic and leeks were things that were really only eaten raw, and they were never eaten cooked. Obviously, I will say this is a societal culinary issue. So the Gemara says, let's do a couple of more lines. Shlokos mevarchin aleim brei pri adama. Cooked vegetables, you go ahead and you say on them brei pri adama. The chaverina yod emeretz Yisrael, umanu ula, mishay rabbi yochana, omer shlokos mevarchin aleim shakol nibidvaro. So in Eretz Yisrael, they said that cooked vegetables get a shakol. The ani omer bemachloki. And I say that halacha lemaisa, they're really steeped in the midst of machlokes. What's the machlokes? Tisanya yotzin berakok hashori b'mavushal shaloni muach de Rabbi Meir. We'll say it's actually Gemara by Masa. So the Gemara says that if you go ahead and you take a wafer and you soak the wafer or you cook the wafer, as long as what? The wafer did not dissolve, you could be yotze with the wafer from Masa, which indicates that what? That even if you cook an item, it still retains what? Its original identity. Which would then mean that by cooked vegetable purposes, even if you cooked a vegetable, would be what? Still be hadama. Dear Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, yotzin berake kasharui, aval lo b'mavushal, aval bishlon amuach. But Rabbi Yossi says, no. If you soaked it in liquid, you can be yotzi, but the moment you cook it, what? The moment you cook it, it lost its identity. So the Gemara wants to suggest now that this machlokis by matzah is not really a machlokis by matzah. What is it? It's a machlokis about what bishul does to an item. When you cook something, what happens? When you cook an item, does the item retain its original identity or not? And the Gemara wants to suggest that the machlokis by matzah will be the same machlokis by cooked vegetables. That the same Adam who says that cooked matzah is still matzah will say that cooked vegetables are still what? Vegetables, and therefore adama. And the mandarim who says that when you cook matzah, it's no longer matzah, will say what? And when you cook vegetables, they're not vegetables, and shahakol. So the Gemara says, no, velohi. In reality, everyone agrees that what? Then on cooked vegetables, they say adama. The ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yossi hasam, ela mishum deba inan tam matzah veleka. Aval hocha, afilu Rabbi Yossi mode. So the Gemara says, no, you can't bring a raya from matzah. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi will hold that by matzah, what? By matzah, you need tam matzah. So I'll say, everyone agrees on one basic fact, which is what? When you cook something, Right. A quinoa doesn't taste like a matzah. That is true. Right? When you cook something, you definitely change the flavor. That's for sure. So the Gemara is going to say the fact that you can't use cooked matzah is not a general statement about what cooking does for food. You can't use cooked matzah because by matzah, you need tam matzah. You need the flavor of matzah. And when you cook it, you no longer have tam matzah. But even the man Gomer who holds that cooked matzah is not good matzah would still hold what? That a cooked vegetable is still the status of a vegetable. So we'll stop over here, but bottom line, halacha l'maisa, how does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch says that any food item that is eaten. So everything depends on the state in which the food item is eaten. If it's a vegetable that's eaten raw, then halacha l'maaseh gets a shahakol. But if it's edible, if its people still eat it in its cooked state, it gets a brei pri adama. I'm sorry. If it's eaten, if it's consumed raw, it gets a brei pri adama. If it's, right, and let's say if it's consumed raw and not consumed cooked, in its cooked state, it'll get a shahakol. If it's not consumed raw, then if you ate it, you'd make a shahakol. If it's consumed cooked, then halacha l'maaseh get a hadama. What happens in a case where an item is consumed both ways, which happens very often, then what? Then as long as the vegetable still retains its appearance as a vegetable, right, because that's very important, as opposed to, let's say, a vegetable that totally dissolves, a puree, then halacha l'maaseh, as long as the vegetable retains its identity, its appearance, some form, as a vegetable, then halacha l'maaseh, it will get a brei pri adama in any form in which it's normally consumed.